Good morning, everybody. Saturday morning in the Delaware Valley, along with my pal Mike Sielski. I'm Glenn Macnow, and another beautiful November day out there, Mike.
It's a balmy 60-something again.
Yeah, let's get out and ride bikes, run the path, whatever.
Sounds good to me.
Drink beer, all those good things.
I'll take it over snow.
Yeah, it is. It's been spectacular, and we hope that you spend your next 3 hours enjoying it with us. So much to talk about today. We will get into all of it, and I want to start kind of here, kind of reflection, Mr. Sielski.
Okay.
We are now a week removed from the World Series. We are 2 days to the next Eagles game. It has kind of been a long, slow week. Let's talk about both those franchises to start the show. And we will, as the show goes on, work in the disappointing 76ers, the surprisingly decent Flyers. We'll get all that stuff in there. We got some great TV recommendations for you, so on and so forth. Big college game last night in Philadelphia. Eagles first. We are, let me do the math, 58 hours, I think, from Monday Night Football kickoff against the Washington Commies.
You know, it's funny. We were just talking politics before the show began. And based on that conversation, I would have not expected you to drop that term 30 seconds into the show.
So, first question. Easiest question I will ask you all day. Mike, should I have any fear that the 8-0 Eagles will lose their undefeated status at home Monday night against Washington?
Glenn, I think you should have minimal fear because these are the Washington Commanders. This is a team that is unimpressive, that the Eagles handled easily the first time they played them this season down in Landover. This is a team that, even with replacing its starting quarterback, that starting quarterback being Carson Wentz and now going to Taylor Heinicke, is still not much of a threat offensively. The front seven, a concern, because Washington's front seven is very good.
Mm-hmm.
But all things being equal, I would be very surprised if Eagles fans are waking up Tuesday morning despairing because the Eagles were now 8-1, having lost on Monday Night Football at home to Washington.
I can imagine Angelo at 6 a.m. on that one. And I guess I agree with you. My worry level, I would say, is a 2 out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we're going to get into this later in the show, but they being the Commanders, do have a couple of elements that in the right hands could pose a threat to the Eagles, but I don't think the Commanders are the team to do it, to exploit those.
Yeah, and I don't know if the long layoff for the Eagles is good or bad. Tyler Heinicke probably gives them a better chance than Carson Wentz. He's 2-1. I mean, he beat the Packers and the Colts. So I don't know how that's impressive. Lost a close one to Minnesota. Their defense is average by the statistics. The good news is they don't run the ball.
And
they should. They actually have Antonio Gibson, who's good, but they don't run the ball. And their turnover ratio is horrible. So point spread is about 10.5, Mike Sielski, and I think it's going to play right around that number.
Yeah, I do too. And I guess we can get into a little bit of this now, although, again, we'll deal with it later in the show. But the front seven of Washington is one of those elements that would give me pause in the right hands against the Eagles. Nobody's been able to slow the Eagles' offense down at all this season, relatively speaking. So you're going to need that. If an opponent is going to need that element, a defensive line that can create pressure and go toe-to-toe with the Eagles' offensive line, if it's going to stand a chance of beating the Eagles, but Washington just doesn't have enough around that.
All right. Well, I'm glad you brought up the Eagles' offensive line, because I want to just take a moment now to pay tribute to probably everybody's favorite player on the Eagles, who is Jason Kelce. This week I was, a lot of websites and papers and so on are doing their mid-season all-pro teams. And he's the center on all of them.
Yep.
And it just got me thinking that, think about this guy. He's 35 years old. He didn't make an all-pro team till his seventh season in the NFL. Now this year, he's going to make it, I assume, at the end of the year. For the fifth time in his career, he never misses a game. He is a terrific player. And beyond that, he's the ultimate Philadelphia guy. Let's just, we'll transition to your thoughts by playing I asked our producer, Kyle Quinn, just get me a Kelce highlight. I don't know what he's got planned. Just something that personifies Jason Kelce.
Now there's a fight breaking out.
Yeah.
Some pushing and shoving.
Odigizua going after Jason Kelce. Hey, listen, you're going to spend all that energy. You need to do it when you have a chance to win the game. Do it trying to win the game. It's just frustration because you're getting blocked all over the field. Great job, Jason Kelce. Run him out of the building.
Nice job, Kyle.
Well done, Kyle.
There you
well
go.
Done.
So let me hand it off to you.
So I would let me approach Jason Kelce and who he is as a person and a player from two different standpoints. You mentioned the fact that he's basically getting better and better the older that he gets. One of his biggest strengths as a player has always been his intelligence. Every coach he's ever had has talked about how smart he is on the field. And I think that tracks with what we're seeing in his career. Remember, he was a sixth-round pick. So just to stay on the roster and be a starter early in his career, you got to be smart. Just to play that position of center, you got to be smart. Well, what happens as he continues with his career? In a phrase that our friend Brian Baldinger likes to use, his bandwidth expands. He gets more and more experience. He sees more and more things. He remembers what to do in certain situations. And a very good player at age 28 becomes a great player at age 31 mm-hmm. for all the experience and information he can now download in a moment's notice. As a person, this summer, I was in Sea Isle City for the event that Jason held to support autism research, where he bartended at the Ocean Drive. And what stuck out to me about that event and Jason's kind of place in it was the comfort that he has with the average person in the Philadelphia area. Yes, I will shotgun a beer. Yes, I will shotgun cheap beer. And I will enjoy it every bit as much as the people around me at this event will enjoy it. There's no airs. It's not a persona, because the word persona implies that there's something even a little bit fake about it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing fake about it. And I think people pick up on that and respect that and enjoy that, I guess, about Jason.
Nicely said. He's the ultimate Philadelphia guy, which I know is a phrase that we overuse in this town so much, and it can mean so many things, but he really is. He's mm-hmm. the guy who came here who has a chance to be the most popular athlete in the history of the town, both because of his play. It doesn't work unless you have both, right?
Right.
So he's got both. And the parade and the mummer outfit and the playing saxophone with the people and the Batman thing that mm-hmm. he wore the other day. And as you said, he is genuinely nice and engaging to people. This week on Twitter, he's great on Twitter, by the way.
Yes, he is.
If Twitter survives the next month, which
we'll
find out. He did this dissertation on the best fast foods, which is like great. It's like, I love McDonald's sausage sandwich. Not a lot of athletes are going down
exactly.
to that, right?
Yeah.
And he does. And the lack of merit in boneless chicken wings, which, by the way, I entirely agree.
Yes.
The boneless chicken wings are not chicken wings. They're chicken fingers, but there you go. And so he gets into these passionate arguments, again, all in jest, but really having mm-hmm. a good time, with just fans who run in like, no, Jason, I love the boneless chicken. And he engages with people on all platforms. I've seen him run into people in public, mm-hmm. as you did at this event. And he's just a guy who likes yep. people.
Yeah. I asked him about that. Like, what was it or what is it about him or his background that allows him to do that? And one of the things he mentioned was he grew up just outside of Cleveland in Cleveland Heights. And his father worked in a steel mill, so there's an element of connection in background with a lot of people in the Philadelphia area. That's part of it. The other thing is, I think he just likes stuff that a lot of people like.
Yeah.
You know, and that down-to-earthness.
And didn't grow out of it.
Exactly. And that down-to-earthness really is that point of connection. You know, we talk about who the most beloved athletes in Philadelphia history might be. And the two I always go to are Chase Utley and Brian Dawkins. But both of those guys had an element, as great as they were, and, you know, on the field and off, there was an element of almost esteem and a slight bit of distance you had to have.
Definitely with Utley.
Yeah, around them. Jason breaks those walls down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Utley, for everything he was, and I respect him, Having a beer with Chase Utley would probably not be the time of your life.
Probably not, no. Although...
Unless he really loosens up in ways we haven't seen.
In fairness, Chase, whenever you dealt with him in a baseball setting, clubhouse, post-game, or all that, was very professional, all about business.
Yes, and that's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's it.
Not a bad guy in any way, but very professional, very baseball. Chase Utley was here, and again, it's going to sound like I'm ripping, I don't mean to, but he was here for a decade, and other than World Bleeping Champions, he didn't really say much that was interesting.
Right, but that's kind of my point, is that I don't know what Chase Utley is like away from the field. He may be a great hang,
right,
for all
because,
I know.
Because he kept that, and that's,
right.
And that's fine. I'm not disrespecting that. But Kelsey, by the way, here's what Kelsey said about boneless chicken wings, because this is important. He wrote, "There is no such thing as a boneless wing. It's nonsense. Show me those boneless winged chickens." It's just clever marketing for people who are afraid to get their fingers dirty. Boneless chicken wings are just chicken meat balls fried and covered in sauce. I appreciate Jason Kelsey. He's great.
Cue the Lee Greenwood singing God Bless the USA.
It's a brilliant thing. 215-592-9494. All right, let us transition into the Phillies. Free agency has begun. We agree they're going to go hard to improve. John Middleton had this team in the World Series, and he's not done, correct?
Correct. Okay. Correct. He's still chasing that bleeping trophy.
He is still chasing that bleeping trophy. By the way, Bryce Harper said this week, Dave Dombrowski is our guy. John Middleton understands we want to win, and we want to win, and he wants to win right now, too. So I imagine we're going to be the same team with more pieces that make us much better. Your colleague David Murphy wrote a good piece on this week and reminded me that since signing Bryce Harper in the last off seasons, the Phillies added Zach Wheeler in 2019. JT Realmuto after 2020, and Schwarber and Castellanos before last year.
Mm-hmm.
Big splash every year.
Yes.
Going to do it again?
I think so, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I think shortstop is where they're looking. I don't see how you could approach their offseason from any other perspective. They let Gene Segura walk away. There have been open discussions about moving Bryson Stott from shortstop to second base to open that position up. And you see the available talent out there now, whether you were talking about Trey Turner, who Bryce Harper has already said is his favorite player.
Hold on. As you mentioned that, I just happen to have this. This was Bryce Harper when he was injured during the year and doing broadcasts, which, by the way, he was excellent at. Somebody, I remember when that happened, people were like, you think that's his future? It's like, that's not really an economic plan.
No, I don't think
so. But here's what he had to say to reflect your thoughts.
But Trey Turner, he's my favorite player in the league. Not even close.
That's a heck of an endorsement right there. And there have been reports coming out of the GM meetings this past week that the Phillies are the front runners to go get Turner.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would be a terrific fit, especially in a lineup that needs more contact. Turner's a terrific player anyway, but he is above the league average in putting the ball in play. He strikes out about 18% of the time. League average is 22%. And this lineup needs a hitter like that. But even if something were to happen where the Phillies weren't going to get him, you still have Carlos Correa just opted out of his contract.
Love him.
With the Minnesota Twins.
Love Carlos Correa.
Xander Bogaerts is
Love
a free
him.
Agent. Dansby Swanson
yes.
is a free agent.
Stealing from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Can we get all of them? I love
get some of those pitchers, too.
I love
too.
All of them. Well, leave the pitchers for now. The shortstops. So you just mentioned four really primo shortstops,
yes.
right? They're probably four of the six best shortstops in baseball right now. All of them are between 28 and 30 years old, so age is not a factor in all of them. Figure whoever you get, you're going to sign to a 6-7-8-year deal, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
You may overpay at the end. That's the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
You can't worry about that right now, okay? Is there an order for you? Is there a clear top and bottom for you among Trey Turner, Carlos Correa, Xander Bogaerts, Dansby Swanson?
I would put Turner and Correa kind of one in 1A.
Oh!
And you could almost flip-flop them. I love Correa.
I
love
do
Correa.
Too. I did not anticipate you would be as wise as this.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I love Trey Turner as well. But, you know, you could flip a coin with those guys, and I think either one would fit in splendidly on this roster and in this lineup.
All right, we agree too much. Let me see if our producer, Kyle, you got these four shortstops, top, bottom, any of them, what do you think?
Yeah, I would be all in on Trey Turner. I mean, he fits pretty much everything that the Phillies need right now in terms of defense and offense. He'd be a great clubhouse guy because, as you heard, Bryce Harper loves the dude, former teammates in Washington. So, yeah, I mean, you add Trey Turner, you could probably put him at leadoff where he naturally belongs, and your lineup makes a little bit more sense. Your defense makes more sense. I mean, I think Trey Turner makes his team a
much
better
team. So you like him head and shoulders above the other guys?
Yeah, okay. I think I would put Bogarts as my next.
Okay,
below.
Interesting. Okay.
All right, I'm Turner, Correa, Bogarts, Swanson. And by the way, if they got Dansby Swanson, I'd be thrilled.
He was the starting shortstop on a world championship team.
Yes.
I'll take that every day.
Yes, and they're going to get one of them.
Right.
I think people are fixated on Turner, and that's great. And I think they probably have the best chance to get him.
Mm-hmm.
But if it doesn't happen, it's like, oh, man, they got Carlos Correa. Like, don't be upset about that. It's going to be great. They're going to get one of these guys.
And not to get ahead of ourselves here, Glenn, but you think about next season. Assume you get one of those guys, which I think is pretty safe.
Yeah.
Think about how that stretches the lineup out. You know, we haven't even reviewed the World Series to think about how top-heavy the production in the lineup got to be over the course of the playoffs. And you think about the bottom part of that lineup where Segura got some big hits, but was kind of out of gas by the end. And Stott was struggling a little bit.
And by the way, as Gene Segura leaves, I do toast his contribution. I don't want any of this to be seen as a disrespect to what he did for the franchise.
No, absolutely not. But was not an extra base / power threat by the end of that postseason in the way he had been.
And not as good a defense as these guys.
Exactly.
And, I mean, and you know, he's... Right. We agree.
Yeah.
We like it.
Yeah, but go for it.
He's
Dave
a second
Dombrowski.
Baseman, and now you're getting a shortstop. A gold glove shortstop.
Yeah, whatever Dave Dombrowski's going to do, go do it.
By the way, I did this. I did the work. I looked at Baseball Reference. That's how I did the work. Trey Turner.
You just find the right tool and let it work for
you. Yes, Trey Turner, over 162 game season, has averaged 114 runs scored, 24 home runs, 45 steals. They haven't had anybody like that since Jimmy Rollins.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what else it would do? It would end that silly debate we had all year about whether Kyle Schwarber ought to be leading off.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it would.
You know, thank God for small favors.
Yes. And Correa, 28 years old, same power, gold glover. Not as durable. That's the problem with him. Dansby Swanson, maybe less likely to move. I'd take him. Bogarts, last 5 years, averaged 27 home runs, 300 batting average, 880 OPS. They're going to get one of these guys, and we're going to be excited. All right, last thing, I want to grab a call here in this first segment. Should they invest? Are there any free agent pitchers that you say, you know what, I'll invest in this guy?
You know, I'm not sure. I mean, they have these prospects in their system that I would probably rather see get a shot.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking about Andrew Painter, for instance, someone like that.
Painter or Abel, both.
Yeah. Give him a chance. You've seen what other teams can do based on the mentality and the maturity of a young guy. You know, the Phillies beat up Spencer Strider, for instance, in Game 3. But, boy, he was really freaking good
year
for the Braves.
Yeah.
So if they feel comfortable doing that, I'd rather see that.
Yeah, a lot of people want Rodon. I think he's going to get overpaid. I think I would avoid that. He's not that durable. The one guy I would look at, and it's not a big – I think he'd get like a 3-year deal, is Tyler Anderson, the lefty from the Dodgers, who had a very good year and you could probably get – and I would be happy with that.
Yeah, and it gets a lefty in the rotation in addition to Ranger, so that's
good. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's work in a call here. Morris in Haddon Heights is first off today. How you doing, Morris?
Hey, how you doing? I got to tell you, the WIP is the only sports talk station in the country where the weekend staff's as good as the weekday staff.
Oh, you're very kind.
Thank you, Morris.
Thank you.
I got to tell you, I enjoy really enjoy listening to you guys. What I wanted to bring up was that one of the most examined and under a microscope, everything is Jalen Hurts. The guy before this year, the guy got diced and sliced everywhere you can see it. Most people would have collapsed under that pressure like his predecessor, for instance. And the guy just played it through. And I admire the way that he reacted to it. A lot of the stuff that they criticized him for wasn't even his fault. He just stayed the course, got the respect of his teammates. And this year is getting the job done.
Yep.
And under a great, great, I mean, last year at this time, we were all talking about trying to get Russell Wilson and all these other guys. He kept his mouth shut, didn't say anything. It's a real pleasure for it to have a guy that
have a quarterback who acts like a man. Is that what you're suggesting? I listen. I think it's very well said, and thank you for the call. And let the record reflect: I was not on the Russell Wilson bandwagon. I didn't think that was a good idea.
Me neither.
I said, let's see what Hurts can do. Guess what? Better than any of us thought.
You know who was on the Russell Wilson bandwagon? The Eagles. The Eagles were on the Russell Wilson bandwagon. I mean, there's a whole lot of what-if games we could play if they actually had succeeded in getting Russell Wilson, which is what they wanted to do.
Yeah, sometimes it's the cliche, but sometimes the best trades are the ones you do not make. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to tell you a way. Actually, we're going to give away a $50 gift card to Shy Vintage Sports. We'll give you the way you can do that. Love your call on any of the things that we have been talking about so far, and we will add more to the mix. Mike Sielski, Glenn Mack, now on 94 WIP. Hey, United Tires Black Friday Super Pricing has arrived. Get some of their best tires at the very best prices now. They're offering up to $120 off select sets of BF Goodrich and Michelin tires now through Cyber Monday. Call or go to unitedtire.com for sale details or stop by your local United Tire store today. The weather doesn't get better from here. Actually, pretty nice. But if you're needing tires, now is the time to take advantage of great savings at United Tire. Don't drive alone. Drive United. Along with Mike Sielski, I'm Glenn Mack, now 94 WIP. Hey, let me just throw out, this is the first time we're going to announce this big event we are setting up for all of your holiday shopping needs. I think Hanukkah starts, I think, December 18th this year. Christmas, of course, the 25th. And we want to give you the opportunity to buy the appropriate present for your sports fan in your life. So we are planning a holiday gift extravaganza.
Those are my favorite kind of extravaganzas.
Yes, I'm sure they are, which is going to be at the Puddler's Kitchen and Tap, one of my Conshohocken Brewing Company places, 3 DeKalb Street in Bridgeport. We'll get more information out on this as we continue to firm it up, but it is going to be Wednesday, December 7th in the evening, like 6:30 to 8:30. Again, we'll work out those details, but write that day in your calendar right now, Wednesday, December 7th in the evening. It's going to be a book sale and signing. Ray Dinger is going to be there with his book. Mike, you're going to have your Kobe book. You're going to have any of your other books as well?
I will have my second book, Fading Echoes.
Terrific.
Which is about high school football.
Yes, great book. Okay. Zach Berman is going to be there with his Eagles book. And the nice people from Scheib Sports are going to come, and they're going to sell those great T-shirts and the throwback merchandise that they sell. And I also lined up a guy, Havertown guy, Carl's Cards and Collectibles, is going to come out with signed memorabilia. So, great night to start the holiday shopping, Wednesday, December 7th. Hope to see you there. All right, Mike Sielski, I'm going to pick the genius of your brain right now.
That should take about a second and a half.
I think you will be able to answer this very quickly.
Okay.
This none of anything that I say should be construed as criticism of any other host on 94 WIP because I respect and admire all of them and I listen to the station all the time. But I also believe that the nature of the business is that sometimes we engage in inane arguments.
Okay.
I agree. I used to have to fill 28 hours a week. There are times when it's like, all right, what are we going to do? However, this week on 94 WIP, too much oxygen was spent on what I consider the single dumbest argument I have heard in my 29-plus years at the station. Mike Sielski, what was the dumbest argument that was focused on way too much this week?
All right, we did not discuss this
before. We did not. We deliberately did not.
Before getting on the air this morning. My educated guess will be that the dumbest discussion on the airwaves this week was, would it help the Eagles to lose a game this season?
Mike, you couldn't be more correct.
Aha.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Let me hand it to you because I'm at home arguing with the radio. And some of our hosts took that position.
Yeah. Look, there's a phrase that I use a lot, Glenn, when talking about and describing the mood in Philadelphia sports and the culture often, which is that Philadelphia sports fans and many media members often spend a lot of time looking to the sky for the anvil or the safe that's going to fall on their heads.
Ooh, a little Roadrunner.
Yeah, exactly.
A Wile E. Coyote.
And this is one of those discussions that reflects that, I feel like. No, I don't think it will benefit the Eagles to lose a game. You, as Herman Edwards, great former Eagles cornerback, once said, you play to win the game. And they are 8-0. Looking at their schedule right now, they're probably going to be favored to win every single game. If they are, if somehow they manage to go 17-0, and I don't think they will, they'll have 2 weeks off to rest before their first playoff game. To me, there's no benefit in saying, oh, okay, well, the pressure would come off. No, they should try to win, and there's going to be nothing good coming out of them losing a game. A
couple things. I agree with 90% of what you said. I have no interest in them losing a game. They'll probably lose a game.
Yeah, of course.
They're not halfway there. There right. are games that can be. Tennessee, I think, is going to be a tougher game because they can't stop the run. That's going to be an interesting one. Playing in Dallas,
yeah.
Christmas Eve is tough. Beating the Giants twice might be tough. There, you know, there's some games mm-hmm. looking ahead where, like, yeah, they're probably going to lose one. Right. However, I see, like you, I see no benefit to, like, oh, we lost. Now we don't have to worry about that. Now we can win the Super Bowl. It's not an either or.
Right.
And I heard part of the argument is, well, look what happened to the Patriots. The Patriots are so hung up on going undefeated that when they lost. And then one has nothing to do with the other. I heard another argument that says, if you look at, I'm going to try to get this correct, I think it is, the last undefeated team in the NFL over the years, none of them has won the Super Bowl in something like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a trend. That doesn't mean anything.
Right.
There's no correlation between those two things. So I agree with you. Here's where the challenge comes. And this might be where we may disagree. Let us say, oh, God, now I'm being trapped into the argument. I'm falling into what I described
we
as the dumbest argument ever.
The dumbest argument in
sports. No, this is, we'll sign off it with this. Let us say that they're 14-0 and they've wrapped it all up, mm-hmm. and then they're 15-0 because they got 17 games. They play game 16. I don't remember who it's against. Okay, that might be a Giants game.
Yeah,
and they've wrapped it all up, and now you know you get the number one seed, and we know the inclination of this coaching staff, which is, we're not going to play guys in positions where they may get hurt. Look at what they did in the preseason. Nobody mm-hmm. plays. We got it wrapped up. We're resting everybody. Would you play those guys for the sake of immortality?
Taking all the caveats out of it, you know, for instance, think about 2004 when they were 13-1 and they sat the starters the final two games. They did that in part because Terrell Owens had already been injured. Assume for the sake of argument that they are healthy. You absolutely go for immortality.
You are going for
you
it.
You absolutely
Oh, I see
do.
The column. I see the Sealski column. What is Nick Sirianni doing?
No.
This he won't. He will not.
Well, here's the thing. Preseason is different from 15-0 and chasing immortality.
Yeah.
And I made this point on another discussion program yesterday. In Philadelphia, we often think about memorable sports years in terms of just championships alone, and maybe did our team win? How close did our team come to winning? The mm-hmm. Eagles in 17, the Phillies in 08, 1980, all of those things. You know what one of the most memorable years in Philadelphia sports was? 2010. You know why it was memorable?
Ooh. That was the Flyers comeback.
The
year.
Flyers came back from a 3-0 deficit, which had only happened two or three times in NHL history.
That was memorable.
Roy Halladay threw a postseason no-hitter.
Oh, yeah, I was there. Yeah, it was great.
The Eagles came back and won the NFC East in large part because of a game in which they were down 31-10 to the New York Giants and came back and won.
Deshaun.
No, none of those three teams won a championship that year. Yet, that was one of the most enjoyable seasons in Philly sports history. The pursuit of immortality, of going unbeaten, would get this town charged up.
Mm. You and I just parted ways.
Okay.
Which is fine. Okay. I guess the dumbest argument in the history of the world certainly gave us fodder for discussion.
Hey, you know, and it's going to get people wanting to weigh in, I think.
Robert is one of them. Hello, Robert.
How you doing?
All right.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, Mike. I kind of was like you in this sense, Glenn. I was listening to it, and I didn't really understand it, you know,
wanting to lose on purpose so that we can get rid of that. But
yeah.
One thing I do disagree with, in a loss, if a team is schemed for you and they've been successful on something, I think in that sense, you know, you don't want to lose, but there could be some benefit in the fact that, you know, that something that might be a weakness could be exposed that you could have time to work on prior to the playoffs. So that's where I see a positive, maybe, if there is a positive in a loss, not that you want it to lose, but that you can learn from it.
I think that's a great point, Robert. It allows for a team to self-scout and to self kind of reevaluate. Where are our soft targets? Are there patterns or habits that we've gotten into that we haven't picked up on and that our opponents are picking up on? And look, it's going to get harder and harder, I think, for the Eagles to win games, obviously because the pressure will ramp up, obviously because opposing teams will have more film to study and look at and find those soft targets, and also because, let's be honest, the system that they're running, offensively anyway, is pretty unique in the NFL. And so the more opportunities that opposing teams have to study it, the longer they have to study it, the more weaknesses they're liable to find.
I agree. Hey, can I just real quick switch gears real quick? I wanted to get your guys' opinion. The other night we saw Johnny Gaudreau come in. I'm from Sewell, New Jersey. Johnny Gaudreau come in and really do a great job. I mean, Columbus is not off to a good start, and now they've lost Zach Werenski, which isn't even going to be, you know, that's so bad for them there.
Yeah.
But, you know, did you feel like, and Emily said, oh, we could never have had Johnny Gaudreau. Do you feel that Fletcher's done a good job and that there was a possibility we could have made a move? I know he spent money on D'Angelo and these guys.
Yeah.
But
I do not think that Fletcher has done a good job, and we're going to talk about the Flyers more in the 11 o'clock hour. I mean, surprisingly, they got a winning record now. I don't know if it's an illusion. I think they've been kind of lucky. Carter Hart's been kind of great.
I think as long as Carter Hart continues to catch bullets in his teeth, they could win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. All right. Let's get Jack. Hello, Jack.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I had a question with all the Trey Turner rumors swirling around. You know, how it looks like going into next year, the Phillies are going to have this amazing roster. And I'm brought back to 2011, where they had a similarly talented roster. Like you expect them to make the World Series or at least make the playoffs and do quite well. Mm-hmm. So my question to you guys is, how do you avoid kind of the letdown in 2011.
Hold on one second. Mike, what was you said about the anvil falling from the sky?
This is an example of it.
This is it. Jack's that guy. You're worried about something that you don't need to worry about. I mean, you're worried about something that is impossible to anticipate, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, from an analysis question, the question I really have is, where do you see the contrast between a future, you know, Phillies team with this roster with Trey Turner and what eventually happened with the 2011 Phillies, which was kind of this kind of spectacular catastrophe? Would you have expected the 2011 Phillies to have gone farther and they just underperformed, or did this year's Phillies roster just overperform beyond your wildest dreams?
Well, I would say this, Jack. I think if you look back at the 2011 roster, there were a couple pretty significant holes in the lineup. Remember, Jason Wirth had left before that season began. And so the Phillies' plan going into that year, if I remember correctly, was we're going to get production from Ben Francisco and John Mayberry, and we're going to kind of make do in the outfield. And that'll be enough because we have this incredible pitching staff. And as it turned out in that divisional series against the Cardinals, with the exception of game one, the Phillies didn't hit in that series at all. And then, of course, you had what happened in game two, where they hand Cliff Lee a four-run lead, and the Cardinals start flaring singles all over the place. And before you know it, they're up 5-4, and the series is tied. So I think the difference this time around is the lineup, assuming you add a top-notch shortstop, a top-notch offensive shortstop, is going to have so much depth that you wouldn't run into that problem. You might have some other problems in the rotation and the bullpen, depending on how those shake out.
215-592-9494. Hey, fall is upon us. It's that time of year again to consider replacing your old drafting windows and doors before another cold winter season rolls in. Now, when I need a company to help me with these home projects, I turn to the experts. The great people at Guided Door and Window. Act now. You receive 20% off all windows and doors. Plus, Guided will allow you to start your project today with no money out of pocket and take up to 3 years to pay it off interest-free once the job is expertly installed. So, you'll be able to start enjoying all the benefits of new, highly energy-efficient windows and doors, including an increased comfort level of your home and lower monthly energy bills, all while taking advantage of 20% savings and having the luxury of paying off your project with 0% interest for up to 36 months. But you got to act now. Offers are limited time only. Restrictions apply. For full details, call Guided today. Schedule a free, no obligation in-home estimate at 1-877-GO-GUIDED or visit them at goguided.com. That's go, G-U-I-D-A.
Those are so stupid.
Mike Sielski, Glenn Mack, now Saturday, 94 WIP. We appreciate everybody listening, and we're about to give you the opportunity to win a prize today. We got our $50 gift card to Shy Vintage Sports, where there's a story in every stitch. Visit their new location at Wayne and Lancaster Avenues in downtown Wayne, or at shibesports.com. I told you they're going to be part of our holiday extravaganza at the Puddler's Tap and Kitchen in Bridgeport, Wednesday evening, December 7th. Everything to get your sports fan. But today we're giving away the $50 gift card. And here it is. And I'm basing this off of a column that you wrote, Mike Sielski, that I know it hit the website today. Is it in the physical Sunday paper?
It will be, yes.
Okay. Tell me what the nature of this is.
So I wrote a piece about the guy who I think has been the Eagles' unsung hero this season.
Mm-hmm.
And that gentleman is, drum roll please, Kyle. I said, drum roll please, Kyle.
Gotta give him a little notice
on that. I need it now. Zach McPherson, who has been the best performer on what has been the worst performing unit that the Eagles have had all season, which is special teams. But he's been terrific, and he's made some big plays throughout the season, recovered an onside kick, for instance, week one against the Lions that preserved the Eagles' two-point victory, made a terrific tackle in the Texans game a week ago Thursday to turn a 47-yard punt into a 49-yard net, saved a punt from going into the end zone, allowed the Eagles to down it within the inside the five-yard line against the Steelers, and you know, it was a fourth-round draft pick, somebody who maybe you thought might possibly turn out to be a starting corner, maybe a slot guy, and instead has made his mark on special teams and has been really, really good there and has really, really embraced the role.
Okay. Interesting. And, I mean, the special teams are horrible, but he's the guy playing well and thus unsung. And it got me thinking, unsung. So after you told me about this yesterday, I posted on Twitter, who is the all-time unsung athlete in Philadelphia history? And let me just take a quick look at the number of responses I got, because they were piling in, my boy.
There's your drum roll.
Now you get the drum roll. I got, as of this morning, 1,025 names.
That's incredible, but it does speak to...
I don't know if we had that many athletes.
Yeah, it does speak to kind of the popularity of this topic, and I think the reason that it is so popular is that it's the kind of thing that Philadelphia sports fans identify with.
Mm-hmm.
The underdog, the guy who comes out of nowhere, or who you don't look at first and foremost as key to success.
Okay, so you're kind of going where, like, let's define this.
Yeah.
Okay? Because some of the ones I got for people who said were unsung were like, nah, he was pretty sung.
He was pretty sung.
Yeah. All right. So by your definition, starting with Zach McPherson, by the way, he's so unsung I had to look up how to spell his name.
Yeah. It's pronounced Zach, but it's Z-E-C-H.
Right. And the McPherson's got like an extra A in it.
Yes.
There's a lot going on in his name.
That is correct.
Define unsung hero.
I would say an athlete who, when you think about a team that had, you know, a good amount of success, good high level of success, doesn't immediately leap to mind,
mm-hmm.
but was a key factor and part of the reason that team did so.
I like that. That's a great definition. All right, so give me one.
I'm going to give you the guy I think is the key,
okay.
The king. Got the game-winning hit in the 2008 World Series. played 2 years for your Philadelphia Phillies, and they made the World Series both years and won 1 year. How about that Pedro Feliz?
Pedro Feliz. Yep, third baseman. Yep.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That is a good one because you will think of 10 or 12 names before you'll come to him. All right, I'll give you one. I'll go Super Bowl Eagles.
Okay.
And I will go with a guy who, as well, very short time here, contributed in a huge way in that, to me, he turned around that NFC Championship game with one play, Patrick Robinson.
Good one.
All right. Kyle, your turn.
Yeah, so instead of saying it, I will introduce my player with a highlight.
Ooh, it's a second and 10. Holds back again. He's looking. He's pumping. He is going deep. And is it a touchdown? I'm awaiting the signal.
It is.
It is. Touchdown. It goes all the way down. A 22-yard touchdown to Clement.
Corey Clement.
Are you saying Nick Foles was an unsung hero, Kyle?
I purposely cut it out before he said it was a great throw by Foles so as to not confuse anybody, because Foles was sung about a lot.
Yes, Corey Clement is a good one.
Very good one.
And a local guy and a popular guy, but yes.
And a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, well, all right. We
nobody's perfect.
That. Probably not anymore. I like these. These are good, and I like this topic. So here's how this works. And this is how you save our producer, Kyle Quinn, from going crazy today. We don't give away stuff a lot. And one of the reasons is because people who just call up to win a prize turn us off.
Yes.
So call us up with listen, we've had great calls already today. Our first hour has been jam-packed with them. Give us a great topic of anything we're talking about or anything that's on your mind. And at the end, we will ask you. If you actually, Kyle will put up an asterisk on the thing so we know if you have one, and we will ask you to give us your unsung hero, and somebody gets a $50 gift card to Shive Vintage Sports. We said that pretty plainly, right?
Yeah,
I think there you go.
Couldn't be clearer.
All right, let's go. Gary in Wissanoming's been hanging for a while. What's going on, Gary? Or why are you missing?
Not Hi, Wissanoming. This is Gary. Why I'm missing.
Yes.
How are you?
Good.
Hi, Gary.
Good. I wanted to talk about the hole in center field that we have. I honestly believe it's a larger hole than what we're talking about in the infield. He's a decent center fielder. Both of them are decent, but they're not great, and neither one is breaking the walls down as far as they're hitting. So I look at the teams that won the World Series, and I look at the center fielders that we had on those teams, and I think you need to be strong up the middle. You need to fill that hole. It's another big hole in the lineup, and nobody seems to be talking about it.
That's interesting. I don't agree with you. I don't know if Mike does agree with you.
I think you've got to give Brandon Marsh a little more time to develop, to see what kind of player he becomes. Remember something. He is only 24. And when he came to the Phillies, part of the rationale that Dave Dombrowski had for trading for Marsh in particular was that they had scouted him and said, he's not hitting with the Angels, but we think there's more there to be extracted. And as it turns out, there was. He hit about 290, I think.
Maybe 288 with an OPS of 773.
Which is pretty good. And a couple big home runs in the postseason. So now, again, I think we can get into some recency bias here. He had maybe the one at bat that really turned the World Series against the Phillies, where he came up with two men on, one out, couldn't put the ball in play. Bad spot for a young player. But between Marsh and if you got to keep Matt Vierling to kind of play against some lefties, I don't think that's the worst combination in the world. Certainly better than what they've had in the last 5 years.
And one other thing that plays into it, Gary, is on a team where you're going to have a lot of high-priced players, and we're talking about adding a shortstop at, you know, $30 million a year, having affordable young players in your lineup who won't be free agents for a couple of years kind of benefits you. I guess we like them better than you like them.
Well, I think I understand the give him some time part, but I also see a team that's poised to win and having a player that can come right in and fill that void while he develops, that would be my preference. But
all right, so let's say you're going to spend money this offseason, and I'll give you three positions, and you can only spend on two. Shortstop, starting pitcher, center field. What's your order?
Well, if the shortstop that they're thinking of is the possibility, I would definitely go that way. As far as pitcher and center field, I'd have to see who they get, you know, who they could get. But
okay.
Both of them, I think, are definitely, I definitely believe we need a pitcher. But then, of course, then you're talking about these pitchers in Lehigh Valley and Redding.
Yeah.
So you said give these kids a chance.
I did. Okay. So, hey, listen, I appreciate your call, Gary. I don't agree with you, but that's why it's sports and that's why it's fun. I like Marsh when he came over, and yeah, he had that bad at bat in the World Series, and he probably doesn't project to be a star in the lineup, but you need guys like that.
Yeah, you just need guys who play a decent center field. I'm looking over the free agents who would be available this offseason at center field. Are you going to go after Brandon Nimmo, who's a good player, but is going to cost you some money? He's going to re-sign with the Mets,
yeah,
I think.
I think so, too. He may have already done so.
I'm just going to list some of the names here,
okay.
And you know who's a free agent center fielder? Odubel Herrera. You know who else is a free agent center fielder? Roman Quinn.
No.
So we've been down this road a little bit.
I'm good with Marsh. I like him.
No, I am too. I am too. And you can play, like I said, you can play Vierling against certain lefties. He hit better against lefties this season, much better than he did against righties. So that's okay.
And besides, imagine when we next see Marsh in March.
He's going to look.
Assuming that he doesn't cut his hair or shave between now and then.
He's going to look like Tom Hanks in the middle hour of Castaway. It's going to be great. He's going to be talking to a volleyball out there near Ashburn Alley.
It's an interesting look he decides to go with. 215-592-9494. Give us your best unsung hero in the history of Philadelphia sports. As I said, I got 1,075 suggestions online. We only need about a dozen on
They can't all be unsung. Jeez.
Yeah, yeah. Mike Sielski, Glenn Mack now, 215-592-9494. Coming up, we'll celebrate, we'll talk about it. I don't know if we're going to celebrate them all. We'll talk about some of the other teams in town right here on 94 WIP. Hey, United Tires Black Friday super pricing has arrived. Get some of their best tires at the very best prices now. They're offering up to $120 off select sets of BF Goodrich and Michelin tires now through Cyber Monday. Call or go to unitedtire.com for sale details or stop by your local United Tire store today. The weather doesn't get better from here, so if you're needing tires, now is the time to take advantage of great savings at United Tire.
Those are so stupid.
Mike Sielski, Glenn Mack, now Saturday, 94 WIP. We appreciate everybody listening, and we're about to give you the opportunity to win a prize today. We got our $50 gift card to Shy Vintage Sports, where there's a story in every stitch. Visit their new location at Wayne and Lancaster Avenues in downtown Wayne, or at shibesports.com. I told you they're going to be part of our holiday extravaganza at the Puddler's Tap and Kitchen in Bridgeport, Wednesday evening, December 7th. Everything to get your sports fan. But today we're giving away the $50 gift card. And here it is. And I'm basing this off of a column that you wrote, Mike Sielski, that I know it hit the website today. Is it in the physical Sunday paper?
It will be, yes.
Okay. Tell me what the nature of this is.
So I wrote a piece about the guy who I think has been the Eagles' unsung hero this season.
Mm-hmm.
And that gentleman is, drum roll please, Kyle. I said, drum roll please, Kyle.
Gotta give him a little notice on that.
No, I need it now. Zach McPherson, who has been the best performer on what has been the worst performing unit that the Eagles have had all season, which is special teams. But he's been terrific, and he's made some big plays throughout the season, recovered an onside kick, for instance, week one against the Lions that preserved the Eagles' two-point victory, made a terrific tackle in the Texans game a week ago Thursday to turn a 47-yard punt into a 49-yard net, saved a punt from going into the end zone, allowed the Eagles to down it within the inside the five-yard line against the Steelers, and it was a fourth-round draft pick, somebody who maybe you thought might possibly turn out to be a starting corner, maybe a slot guy, and instead has made his mark on special teams and has been really, really good there and has really, really embraced the role.
Okay. Interesting. And I mean, the special teams are horrible, but he's the guy playing well, and
right.
thus unsung. And it got me thinking, unsung. So after you told me about this yesterday, I posted on Twitter, who is the all-time unsung athlete in Philadelphia history? And let me just take a quick look at the number of responses I got, because they were piling in, my boy.
There's your drum roll.
Now you get the drum roll. I got, as of this morning, 1,025 names.
That's incredible, but
yeah.
It does speak to...
I don't know if we had that many athletes.
Yeah, it does speak to kind of the popularity of this topic, and I think the reason that it is so popular is that it's the kind of thing that Philadelphia sports fans identify with.
Mm-hmm.
The underdog, the guy who comes out of nowhere, or you don't look at first and foremost as key to success.
Okay, so you're kind of going where, like, let's define this.
Yeah.
Okay? Because some of the ones I got for people who said were unsung were like, nah, he was pretty sung.
He was pretty sung.
Yeah. All right? So by your definition, starting with Zach McPherson, by the way, he's so unsung I had to look up how to spell his name.
Yeah, it's pronounced Zach, but it's Z-E-C-H.
Right, and the McPherson's got like an extra A in it.
Yes.
There's a lot going on in his name.
That is correct.
Define unsung hero.
I would say an athlete who, when you think about a team that had, you know, a good amount of success, good high level of success, doesn't immediately leap to mind,
mm-hmm.
but was a key factor and part of the reason that team did so.
I like that. That's a great definition. All right, so give me one.
I'm going to give you the guy I think is the key,
okay.
The king. Got the game-winning hit in the 2008 World Series. Played 2 years for your Philadelphia Phillies, and they made the World Series both years and won 1 year. How about that Pedro Feliz.
Yep, third baseman.
Yep. Yeah.
That's a good one. That is a good one, because you will think of 10 or 12 names before you'll come to him. All right, I'll give you one. I'll go Super Bowl Eagles.
Okay.
And I will go with a guy who, as well, very short time here, contributed in a huge way, in that, to me, he turned around that NFC Championship game with one play, Patrick Robinson.
Good one.
All
good
right.
One.
Kyle, your turn.
Yeah, so instead of saying it, I will introduce my player with a highlight.
Ooh, it's a
second and 10. Holds back again. He's looking. He's pumping. He is going deep. And is it a touchdown? I'm awaiting the signal.
It is.
It is. Touchdown. It goes all the way down. A 22-yard touchdown to Clement.
Corey Clement.
Are you saying Nick Foles was an unsung hero, Kyle?
I purposely cut it out before he said it was a great throw by Foles so as to not confuse anybody, because Foles was sung about a lot.
Yes, Corey Clement is a good one.
Very good one.
And a local guy and a popular guy, but yes.
And a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, well, all right. We
nobody's perfect.
That. Probably not anymore. I like these. These are good, and I like this topic. So here's how this works. And this is how you save our producer, Kyle Quinn, from going crazy today. We don't give away stuff a lot. And one of the reasons is because people who just call up to win a prize turn us off.
Yes.
So call us up with, we've had great calls already today. Our first hour has been jam-packed with them. Give us a great topic of anything we're talking about or anything that's on your mind. And at the end, we will ask you. If you actually, Kyle will put up an asterisk on the thing so we know if you have one, and we will ask you to give us your unsung hero, and somebody gets a $50 gift card to Shive Vintage Sports. We said that pretty plainly, right?
Yeah,
I think there you go.
Couldn't be clearer.
All right, let's go. Gary in Wisconoming's been hanging for a while. What's going on, Gary? Or why are you missing?
Not Hi, Wisconoming. This is Gary.
Yes.
Why I'm missing.
Yes.
How are you?
Good.
Hi, Gary.
Good. I wanted to talk about the hole in center field that we have. I honestly believe it's a larger hole than what we're talking about in the infield. He's a decent center fielder. Both of them are decent, but they're not great, and neither one is breaking the walls down as far as they're hitting. So I look at the teams that won the World Series, and I look at the center fielders that we had on those teams, and I think you need to be strong up the middle. You need to fill that hole. It's another big hole in the lineup, and nobody seems to be talking about it.
That's interesting. I don't agree with you. I don't know if Mike does agree with you.
I think you've got to give Brandon Marsh a little more time to develop to see what kind of player he becomes. Remember something, he is only 24. And he when he came to the Phillies, part of the rationale that Dave Dombrowski had for trading for Marsh in particular was that they had scouted him and said, he's not hitting with the Angels, but we think there's more there to be extracted. And as it turns out, there was. He hit about 290, I think.
Maybe 288 with an OPS of 773.
Which is pretty good. And a couple big home runs in the postseason. So now, again, I think we can get into some recency bias here. He had maybe the one at bat that really turned the World Series against the Phillies, where he came up with two men on, one out, couldn't put the ball in play. Bad spot for a young player. But between Marsh and if you got to keep Matt Vierling to kind of play against some lefties, I don't think that's the worst combination in the world. Certainly better than what they've had in the last 5 years.
And one other thing that plays into it, Gary, is on a team where you're going to have a lot of high-priced players, and we're talking about adding a shortstop at, you know, $30 million a year, having affordable young players in your lineup who won't be free agents for a couple of years kind of benefits you. I guess we like him better than you like him.
Well, I think I understand the give him some time part, but I also see a team that's poised to win and having a player that can come right in and fill that void while he develops, that would be my preference. But
all right, so let's say you're going to spend money this offseason, and I'll give you three positions, and you can only spend on two. Shortstop, starting pitcher, center field. What's your order?
Well, if the shortstop that they're thinking of is the possibility, I would definitely go that way. As far as pitcher and center field, I'd have to see who they get, you know, who they could get. But both of them, I think, are definitely, I definitely believe we need a pitcher. But then, of course, then you're talking about these pitchers in Lehigh Valley and Redding.
Yeah.
So you said give these kids a chance.
I did. Okay. So, hey, listen, I appreciate your call, Gary. I don't agree with you, but that's why it's sports and that's why it's fun. I liked Marsh when he came over. And, yeah, he had that bad at bat in the World Series. And he probably doesn't project to be a star in the lineup, but you need guys like that.
Yeah, you just need guys who play a decent center field. I'm looking over the free agents who would be available this offseason at center field. Are you going to go after Brandon Nimmo, who's a good player, but is going to cost you some money? He's going to re-sign with the Mets, I think.
I think so, too. He may have already done so.
I'm just going to list some of the names here.
Okay.
And, you know who's a free agent center fielder? Odubel Herrera. You know who else is a free agent center fielder? Roman Quinn.
No.
So we've been down this road a little bit.
I'm good with Marsh. I like him.
No, I am too. I am too. And you can play, like I said, you can play Vierling against certain lefties. He hit better against lefties this season, much better than he did against righties. So that's okay.
And besides, imagine when we next see Marsh in March.
He's going to look,
assuming that he doesn't cut his hair or shave between now and then.
He's going to look like Tom Hanks in the middle hour of Castaway. It's going to be great. He's going to be talking to a volleyball out there near Ashburn Alley.
It's an interesting look he decides to go with. 215-592-9494. Give us your best unsung hero in the history of Philadelphia sports. As I said, I got 1,075 suggestions online. We only need about a dozen on
They can't all be unsung. Jeez.
Yeah. Mike Sielski, Glenn Macnow, 215-592-9494. Coming up, we'll celebrate, we'll talk about it. I don't know if we're going to celebrate them all. We'll talk about some of the other teams in town right here on 94 WIP. Hey, United Tires Black Friday super pricing has arrived. Got some of their best tires at the very best prices now. They're offering up to $120 off select sets of BF Goodrich and Michelin tires now through Cyber Monday. Call or go to unitedtire.com for sale details or stop by your local United Tire store today. The weather doesn't get better from here, so if you're needing tires, now is the time to take advantage of great savings at United Tire.